We all very familiar with this text. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This implies that there are bad shepherds, and they do not give their lives or anything else for that matter to the sheep. But I want today to use a different approach. There are quite a few Bible texts, so let's get to it, okay? The title that we chose, The Good Shepherd. Every time we say the Good Shepherd, we all think about one person, right? But you see that the intent of the scripture is not only to emphasize Jesus as a good shepherd, but the followers of Jesus must be shepherds as well. Okay? Now, have you looked at the word shepherd? Do you see how many words are there in one word? Can you see two words in shepherd? Is the sheep and the herd. What is a herd? What is a herd? It has to be a bunch of sheep, right? Sometimes people are just part of the herd. And they just follow. And that's the problem with the sheep. You will find out that sheep is very, I think it's so beautifully used by the scripture because it's a very kind animal. But an animal that is not very bright. And once they put their head down, all they are thinking is about food. And they don't think about anything else. And wonder why the Lord associate us with sheep. So let's keep that in mind. This is something that I did for a while, and I stopped for a while, but now I'm going to do it again today. Look at this. It almost looks like Oceanside, right? This is a wonderful day. Can you say, this is a wonderful day? What else? We have never seen it before. And we won't ever see it again. So make the best of it, please. It is a blessing to be here today. I didn't realize that I have a second. All right. The Good Shepherd. It tells us that it's a reference that in biblical terms is referring to Jesus Christ himself. And also, it talks about how he laid down his life for those that follow him. Okay? Symbolism. It signifies divine care, guidance, also protection, sacrifice, contrasting with a higher hand that will not do that or completely abandon the sheep if things get rough. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, it talks about Jesus Christ. Psalm 23, we all familiar with that psalm, and we have the words here. And also in Ezekiel, Ezekiel make a contrast between the good and the bad. So we have a few verses to share. Here is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have no need. So I chose New Living Translation to present this psalm to you. The Lord is my shepherd. Is it he? That's the first question I'd like to ask you. Because sometimes we say this almost spontaneous. Some of us even have memorized. I remember, I don't know if she remembers this, but I remember my wife told me that they memorized this psalm before. And quite a few people do. But the question is, when you say, the Lord is my shepherd, are you really a sheep or a goat? Okay? Because I don't think the Lord is a shepherd of goats. Okay? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I like this version. All that I need. Do you, in order for you to say, I have all that I need, you need to learn to be satisfied, to be content. I like when Paul says, I have learned to be content. I have been poor, I have been rich, I have been back and forth, but one thing that I have learned to be content, to be satisfied. Sometimes people are driven out of their minds after pursuing things. And they are never happy. They are miserable. It makes everybody miserable around them as well. Because all that they care is about getting things. If the Lord is your shepherd, you will learn to be satisfied. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Or some other verse says peaceful waters. Verse 3, He renews my strength. He guides me along right path. Bring honor to His name, because the way He leads me, I live a life that will bring honors to His name. And continue. Verse 4, Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Some of you have been into dark valleys before. And some of you will still go through those. But you need to know that if you do have Christ as your shepherd, His rod and His staff will protect and comfort you. Now, verse 5. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. And David finished his psalm with this. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And the emphasis on the word pursue, because a shepherd always keep running after the sheep, because remember, they are not very smart and they will harm themselves if somebody don't protect them. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, the Lord is my shepherd. I'll be part of His family forever. Now continue, the promised shepherd. Now this is Ezekiel. Verse 23 says, After that, I will give you a shepherd from the family of my servant King David. All of you, both strong and weak, will have the same shepherd, and he will take good care of you. Amen, right? Beautiful. This is a promise. Promises hundreds, almost 1,000 years before. It says a shepherd is coming. We just celebrate Christmas very recently, right? Have you noticed one thing? Who were the most important people? You know, there were kings in the world, there was rich people, but who were the most important people that heaven decided to call and inform them about the coming of the shepherd? Shepherds. With all the people, all the famous people, all the people that has power, God chose the shepherds to let them know the shepherd is here. He has arrived, the good shepherd. And also, you know that those shepherds, they were from Bethlehem, where the house of David, the descendants of David. So it's not a coincidence. There was a divine purpose in saying the shepherds will welcome the good shepherd. Nobody else would, but they did. Verse 24, He will be your leader, and I will be your God. I, the Lord, have spoken. It is a sure thing. Later on, Jesus Christ, in Luke 15, all of you know, last week we used part of the Luke 15. Some of you call the parable of the prodigal son. Remember that we said it's not really about the son, it was all about the father. And here is now, we're going to use another portion of that. One day when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, by the way, it's interesting that Jesus attracted the kind of a people that the church did not want. The church was keeping them, put some deacons at the door, says, if somebody comes like this, please kick them out. We don't want them around. So this is the type of people that says, we have no place to go. We cannot go to church. But here there is a preacher. I'm going to listen to them. Because, brothers and sisters, there is one thing that I like to say, and I would like to emphasize this. Every human being have a need for spiritual food. It's our nature. It's by instinct. We are all born to be spiritual. I know that some scientists will say, oh, we disagree. We are born to be social, but not spiritual. No, we are born to be spiritual. We are born to be social. We are born to serve, not to be served. We give, we share, because we have to. That is part of existence. And so one day, when many tax collectors, the people that were hated by everybody else, and other outcasts, by the way, it's not easy to really like a tax collector, especially when you have to write such a big checks. It hurts. But this one was especially, they hate them even more, because not only they collect taxes for their own, but they collect taxes to give part of the temple, and they collect taxes to give to the Romans, to the enemies. So that's why they were used as instruments of the enemy to try to get what it belongs to us. Second, number two, it says, verse two, the Pharisees, here it comes. You know where the Pharisees are? Have you heard them about them before? Yes. Fairy. They're always dreaming about things. Pharisees. And the teachers of the law start doing what? Glumbing. This man welcomes outcasts. This man is a demeaning way to... they knew his name. They knew exactly who he was. But in a demeaning way, this man, this person, welcomes outcasts and even eats with them. Even eats with them. Can you imagine? The implication is he is as unclean as they are. Imagine if somebody comes here and says, I'm sorry, I haven't washed my hand. I just fed some pigs, but I didn't have a time to wash my hands. Here's a piece of bread. Do you like to have it? Ugh. That's the implication. He says he has been with unclean people. He even eats with them. So he is as unclean as they are. That's the implication they were saying. And you'll be amazed that a lot of people sometimes, with a disguise of being spiritual, they're as mean as the devil can be. Yes, and I'm not here to criticize anyone, but I'm going to say to you, don't let that get under your skin. Don't be so quick to be offended, because everywhere Satan have his tools that he put in place. Jesus Christ had to deal with this during his entire life, so we have to deal with that too. In verse 3, it says, so Jesus told them this parable. So instead of confront them, says, no, you are the dirty ones. You are the ones. Jesus says, let me share with you a parable, a story. And then we go to the book of Matthew. We're going to jump from Luke, go to Matthew. In Matthew 18, verse 12 to 14, contemporary English version says this. This is what Jesus says. Let me ask you this. What would you do if you had 100 sheep and one of them just did something that is natural, they do all the time, wander off? What did you do? Would you leave the 99 on the hillside and go look for the one that wandered away? Or you say, you know what, it's just one. I have another 99 here. Why bother? Jesus knew that they will go for it. He says, I am sure that finding it would make you happier than having the 99 that never wandered off. In 14 it says, that's how it is with your Father in heaven. So what was this all about? Not the tax collectors, not the sinners, not the sheep. It was all about how the Heavenly Father is gracious and willing to forgive. The whole thing, brothers and sisters, all Jesus' ministry was to show us the Father. The sheep, the prodigal son, his brother, all of them are instruments that he's been used to show who God is. Why is Jesus so preoccupied and show us who our Father is? Because when we find out who our Father is, when we know Him, then we are transformed to be like Him. The only way that we can be like God is when we really understand who God is. And that's the mission of Jesus. If you see His miracles, if you see His teachings, He emphasized over and over again, it's all about the Heavenly Father. He doesn't want any of these little ones to be lost. It doesn't matter if it's a tax collector. It doesn't matter if a woman that was caught in prostitution. But let me make sure that we don't misuse grace. Jesus Christ said clearly, go and sin no more. Can you say this with me? Go and sin no more. The objective of grace is to transform people to become from rebellious into redeemed. God never used grace in order to enable people to continue. Some people came to a banquet and the person was not properly dressed. Jesus Christ didn't say to everybody, by the way, forgive him, he did not know. The parable says he was asked to leave because he was not properly dressed for the banquet. God is very clear. We don't break the rules to make new rules. You cannot do this. And so he says, he is anxious to save the lost, but save them to be changed, not to remain the same. That's blasphemy when people try to turn God's grace into a disgrace, saying that God is loved so much that He will accept you the way you are and He will not change you. Come and stay the way you are. That's not the case. God asks you to come to Him so He can change you to become like Him. You can say amen. That's fine. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. Because I know them, because they know me, that's why they will follow me. And then it says, in continuation, it says, and I give them eternal life. Which eternal life God gave them? God says, I am the way, the truth, and life. I give myself. The creator of life give himself, so that we may have life. It said, they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And when I read this, it comes to my mind, Isaiah 41:10. You know, don't fear, because I'm uphold you with my own righteous hand. No one can take us from God's hands. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. The Bible also tells us that if we love each other, we must be willing to give our lives to our fellow member. Have we ever reached that moment in our lives that we are willing to die for my brother and sister in Christ? Let me share a little bit of history for you. The Bible says that the power of evil, the Babylon, the Antichrist, was going to persecute the children of the woman for 1,600 years. I mean, 1,260 years. And did. And burned them in public places, crucified it, all the worst things that any human can even imagine. They did atrocities, all in the name of God. They destroyed the Inquisition. Remember the, so they even called the Holy Inquisition. They did all those things. And many people from inside of the church betrayed because of fear. They betrayed their fellow. But many, let's be positive, many gave their lives to hide other Christians. They allowed themselves to be crucified, tortured, just to save others. We need to understand that we must be willing to give our lives to those that are also my brother and sister in Christ. Days are coming, and I'm not here, it's not my role as a pastor to scare you about what is coming. But as a fact, difficult days are coming when our faith will be tested, and we need to be able not only to stand for Christ, but also for Christ's church. Amen. We need to defend the faith that we believe. I like this picture because Jesus here is a shepherd. But if you look in his head, he's also the crucified Christ, the one who was about to be crucified. That's the crown of thorns. It's very symbolic. It's a nice paint. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. What about if this good shepherd here, it's you? Are you a good shepherd? You may say, no, Pastor, I'm not a shepherd. You are. No. Everyone, every follower of Christ is a shepherd. Every single one of us are a shepherd. But what kind of shepherd are we? Are we a good shepherd? A good shepherd? Do you know each other? Do you call each other? Do you talk to each other? Do you miss each other? That's what a really family is. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, New Century Version. Preach the good news. Which news? Some other version says, preach the word of God. Okay? Preach the word of God. Be ready sometimes on Sabbath. That means 7 days a week, right? And tell people what they need to do. Not in a bossy way, okay, please. Tell them what they are doing wrong. That is tough. Sometimes we don't do this even with our own children. Because sometimes some children can intimidate their parents with their temperament and all those. So sometimes you say, leave alone. Do not, if you love somebody deep enough, you'll be gracious but always willing to help them to open their eyes and see that they are going in the wrong path. The Bible tells us, Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew 18, if you see somebody doing wrong, correct them. But with love, and let them see that you're doing because you want them to be, you love them so much that you want them to be saved. Encourage them with great patience. How? Great patience and careful teaching. Brothers and sisters, when you read this, pay attention to the word patience and careful. Patience and careful teaching. Preach the good news. Be ready at all times. Now, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 is well known by all of us. It started with a G-O, right? It says, go. Go where? Anywhere that God asks you to. If you see someone that you would like to, if there is something in you that says, tell this person, I'll see you in church next Sabbath. Or if you are there, you're sitting at home, and a name came to your mind, says, I didn't see that person in church. I'm going to give that person a call. Don't let anything distract you. Get on the phone and listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is telling you, you are the shepherd today. Somebody needs to hear your voice. Call that person. It says, go and tell all the peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are very familiar. And then comes 20. And teach them to obey whatever is convenient for them. I'm sorry. What does everything means? All of it. Not only what is convenient in your denomination, what is convenient in your culture. Because some people will hold culture more important than spirituality. Some people will hold their feelings above what God tells them. It is a very dangerous time that we live in, when everybody has an opinion about everything. And nobody is willing to listen to anybody else but themselves. And you know what happens when a person don't listen to anybody else, only to themselves? That is a very, very clear definition of insanity and foolishness. And teach them to obey everything. Would that include the Sabbath also? Oh, by the way, is teach them everything has anything to do with eating? I'm going to touch something here that I'm going to feel sorry for what I'm about to say. But I have to say anyway. Does everything has anything about vanity? Jewelry? A lot of people are not afraid to put a diamond in their ears, but they don't put even a penny on the church offering plate. And then you ask, who is God for this person? I know that I'm walking dangerous place here, but it has to be done. You may not hear this from any other church. They don't talk about those things anymore. We live in a days that a pastor has to be extremely careful, because he may lose a whole congregation in one single sentence. Because everybody has an opinion and everybody has options. I cannot apologize for what is written. I cannot. All right, let's give you guys a break. Let's continue. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Oh, by the way, does that include gossip too? Oh. And I will be with you always. Until when? Until I come for you myself to pick you up. Until that day, I'll be with you. Every time you stand up to preach, I'll be the one who shape your words. I'm the one who teach you how to be a good shepherd. The saved search for the lost. If you want to know if you are saved, you'll be looking for the lost. But if you're lost, you're not going to be looking for anyone but just yourself. The saved always search for the lost. The saved are shepherds. Are you a shepherd? A good shepherd. Let me share a story, an illustration that has been very well known, and some of you may have heard before. Searching for the lost. A teenager ran away from home in Spain. His real name was Francisco, but they called Paco. And he ran away from home, and when the father arrived from work at home, he saw the whole family crying. Mother was crying, and the siblings were crying, and they asked, "What is going on?" "He is gone. He is gone. He is gone." And she kept crying. Now the father is confused. Who is gone? And what's the word gone means? And then it says, "He is gone." And he looked and didn't see Francisco, his older son, a teenager. So he ran to his room because maybe he thought she meant gone means he's dead. So she ran, everybody's crying, he's gone, he's not here. So they imply he's dead. He ran to his room and got there, he was not there. So he comes back and says, "Where is he?" "He is gone." Now he understood that gone means not in a house, not dead. And then he started looking, making phone calls to relatives. Maybe he found out that he's talking about his son, Paco, that he left home. As a teenager, he decided to go free, to experience life. So the father called some friends, called some relatives. Nobody heard about him. The father even went to his school, and asked his friends, maybe he talked to some of them and gave them an idea. The father was desperate to find an idea. Where has he gone? Nobody knew. Not a single thing. The father goes to the police station, and the police says, "No, sir, there's nothing we can do. He needs to wait until 48 hours before you consider missing." But father said, "By then, he may be too far for us to. There's nothing we can do." He went back home and keep calling, keep trying to find ideas where could he be. And as he was thinking, he realized that one day he was watching a soccer game with his son, and his son mentioned Madrid, the capital. "Oh, what a beautiful place." Maybe that was the dream. Maybe he went to Madrid, which is many hours away. I don't know how he got there. He got a ride or I don't know, but maybe that's where he went. So our father took off to Madrid. He arrived in Madrid and he decided to put an ad on the newspaper. This is what he wrote: "Paco, meet me at Hotel Montana at noon on Tuesday." But this is how he concluded the most part of the ad: "All is forgiven. Love, Papa." He put this in the newspaper. And hope, it says, my son will read this, and he will come because all is forgiven. The story tells us that Tuesday came, the time came. 800 kids, boys, showed up, all of them named Paco. 800. Brothers and sisters, we all want to find Papa. We all need to run towards our Heavenly Father because He is saying to you, and He printed the ad has been in your hand. The ad says here clearly, son, daughter, all is forgiven. Amen. Come. come, meet me. Do you know what the word montana means? A hill. Come to the hill. God called Israel to come to the hill to meet him. God is calling you today to meet the Good Shepherd. Papa is looking for you. All is forgiven. Please come. It is a universal need for all of us that we all have. Just like many Pacos, brothers and sisters, today there are a lot of people that are lost. There are a lot of people that are confused. Some people are using drugs. Some people are using other ways to try to get away from the stress that they have. All that they need is something that alleviates them the burden of the guilt that they feel. And they want to hear the words, all is forgiven. The world needs grace, needs to understand what grace is. The world needs to learn what is forgiven that the Lord is offering them. And the Lord needs shepherds. The Lord needs you to be a good shepherd. The Lord wants you to be driven by the desire to save because you are saved. The saved search for the lost. May the Lord bless each one of you. And may the Lord give you the confidence to speak on his behalf. Please be a good shepherd. You need one, and you need to be one. God bless.